I offer this essay in a spirit of confession and in the wake of transformation. It's a point along my journey of faith. It speaks of a visitation, a blowing and a burning of the Holy Spirit that came to me within this loving community of faith, within my community of faith. I invite you to listen and to receive the story in a similar spirit. Inspiring Peacemaker at the Back of the Church, Lessons from a 3-Year-Old. She loves me. She loves me. She really, really loves me. 3-year-old Spencer declared from the back of the church that Sunday morning. Spencer reached out to touch baby Sadie's arm, to feel it with his own hand, to sense it with his own skin, and then to proclaim the love he felt therein. She loves me. She loves me. She really, really loves me, he declared, jumping up and down. Spencer's buoyant declaration of Sadie's love spilled into my own fleshy heart that morning and ignited a transformation. Though he had no intention of it, Spencer was providing an experience of peace so moving, a taste of shalom so holy, that I was inspired, breathed into. Spencer was modeling a way of peace for me simply by being who he was. It happened in the context of a worship service. Though not a prominent theme at a typical assembly worship service, the focus of that particular Sunday was on the redemptive and saving blood of Jesus. This is a concept found in various New Testament texts and held as a central belief in many strands of Christianity, which is why the worship committee wanted us to look at it and engage it. Even so, when I sat down that morning and noticed the topic of worship, my stomach flipped. Like some others here, I am not at ease with a doctrine or a theology that glorifies a man, even a God-man, Jesus, who bleeds once that we might be saved, whatever this means, who can choose to give up his power because he possesses it in the first place. What about the woman who bleeds every month, that we might have life in all its myriad forms, I silently contended. Why is her blood not also viewed as holy and redemptive and purifying? Or the victim who is powerless to make the choice of sacrifice, how is her or his or its reality tended in our theology of redemptive blood and sacrifice? As these thoughts raced through my mind that morning, I felt my chest clench, my heart race, my gut burn. I needed to move. So I turned. I turned toward baby Sadie, who was sitting next to me on her mother's lap. I asked Sadie's mother if I could hold Sadie, knowing instinctively, I think, that her warm, wiggly spirit would soften my tense muscles and bitter critique. And it did. I felt my shoulders relax, my pulse slow, and my heart warm. My focus shifted from indignant thoughts to human encounter. I was softening, or so I thought. Near the end of children's time, the congregation was invited to sing Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, a song that stirred another bout of tension and critique in me, even with baby Sadie now warming my lap. How are we to know the love of an incarnate God, Jesus, whom we have never touched with our own hands, felt with our own skin, or experienced in loving human relationship? I again contended silently. Are we teaching our children and ourselves that whatever this love is, it is to be known through a book, even a holy book? There I was again, chest clenched, heart racing, gut burning. But before the congregation began to sing, as if sensing my own restlessness and tension, Sadie began to fuss. So I stood up, held Sadie facing out, and walked her to the back of the sanctuary. Meantime, 3-year-old Spencer, who was sitting with his parents and brother in the very back row of the baby cave, caught sight of Sadie and immediately was drawn in by her. Look at the baby. Look at the baby, Spencer exclaimed as he jumped to his feet. Look at the little bitty bubbles blowing out of her mouth. I knelt down so that Spencer could look more closely at Sadie. Spencer reached out to touch Sadie's arm, tenderly, lovingly, adoringly. Then he invited his family to do the same. Come, feel her skin, he beckoned. It's so soft. Spencer's mother and brother walked over to behold baby Sadie, to touch her arm, to feel her skin, to delight in her love. This touching and adoring lasted another moment or two until suddenly Spencer pulled back his hand, took another look at Sadie, and began to jump up and down. She loves me. She loves me. She really, really loves me, he proclaimed as he bounced. She loves me. She loves me. She really, really loves me. Soon after this, Spencer sat down on the floor and began to play with his toy trucks, only to rise again moments later, look up at Sadie, whom I was still holding, and declare in utter astonishment, she loves me. Remarkably, Spencer's declaration of Sadie's love was happening around the same time the congregation was singing Jesus Loves Me. In other words, Spencer's animated, embodied proclamation of Sadie's love was being sung in tandem with the congregation's steady, measured declaration of Jesus' love. It went something like this. Yes, Jesus loves me, she loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, she loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, she really, really loves me. No longer one single melody, Jesus Loved Me had morphed into a symphony, with Spencer's embodied proclamation of Sadie's love sliding beneath and vibrating above the congregation's steady expression of Jesus' love. Each declaration of love was sung separately, yet both were held within the embrace of the same worship space, within the framework of the same congregation, and within the loving embrace of the same God. My heart delighted at the warmth of this encounter. My theological swords beat themselves into metaphorical plowshares. Spencer had not only inspired me, he had offered the opportunity of transformation. And he did this not intentionally, not to set me straight, but by being who he was in that moment. Available, perceptive, responsive, uninhibited, unself-conscious, and his declaration of a love he knew because his experience of it told him so. Soon after this, I walked Sadie back to her mother and returned to my seat. I sat down and my body quaked, but not in reaction to heady theological concepts. This time it was in response to love. A holy love exchanging itself between Spencer and Sadie. I had been cleansed of biting, bitter critique. I had been filled with shalom. A fresh, new song of embodied love had proclaimed itself to me in words almost identical with the old. But that's not all. The inspiration of Spencer's love song stirred me at an even deeper level. For it connected to my study of the ancient Hebrew love song, the Song of Songs. Like Spencer's unwitting transposition of Jesus Loves Me into She Loves Me, the Song of Songs also transposes older religious texts into fresh, new, and embodied expressions. In this way, a common biblical phrase like, let us rejoice and be glad in Yahweh, or in Yahweh's salvation, becomes in the Song of Songs, let us rejoice and be glad in you, a human beloved. Or a phrase like, I will remember Yahweh's steadfast love, becomes in the Song of Songs, I will remember your, the human beloved's, love. In other words, in the Song of Songs, as in the Song of Spencer, Yahweh, the God who simply is, the meaning of the name Yahweh, it is to be seen, touched, smelled, and tasted, not in abstraction, but in loving relationship. Come, feel her skin. Sense his presence. Note its approach. In singing of the love he experienced in baby Sadie, Spencer inspires me to give voice to the loves I experience in my own life and to sing about them while others in the church sing and worship around a love or loves they experience and know in whatever way and form. Spencer shows me that the love I know and the love I serve does not summon me to react, to fight, or even to argue with others' interpretations and experiences of love incarnate. It simply summons me to see it when it approaches, to experience it, and then to respond to it with absolute wonder. Even if sometimes at the back of the church, with the very least of these bouncing by my side. Some of us will sing, Jesus loves me. Spencer will sing, she loves me. And you and I, we can sing whatever song it is that arises from our experiences of love incarnate, be it in a person, in an animal, a tree, or a rock. In this way, we can walk the path of peace in a church, conference, denomination, embattled with angry factions, righteous indignation, and holy war. In this way, we can live in peace with all people, even those sitting closest to us, in the same aisles, of the same church, under the same banner of love. In this way, we can be more like Spencer.